All right, it's interesting. I've noticed the theme here. I think all of you got it for the whole weekend. As he was talking about grace. And if I could just share just a little something with you. This is going to be a very short devotional. I know we're just about out of time as it is, but it won't take me but just a minute. Most of us, when we think of the word grace, we think of that definition that we get. And that definition that you hear more than anything is unmerited faith or unmerited favor. And we think of what that means. And really that is that unmerited is having something done that you didn't deserve. And favor is just showing kindness to somebody. But you know, unmerited favor like that can be something that even we share as kindness to somebody. You know, just dropping a few coins in a homeless man's cup is unmerited favor. Holding the door for someone to go through is just unmerited favor. But that's really not grace in what God has given toward us. I mean, think about, we are saved by grace. That was more than just a kind act. I mean, we cannot be so kind as to say, I'm willing to sacrifice my only son for your salvation. But that's what God did for us. And as we think about that grace and we think about the things that are going on in our lives and we've seen so much, we had, prior to the Wiles, we had that revival meeting that we had with Brother Hayes. And it was a great meeting. And I know some of you really listened and really got some things out of it and made some deep commitments, made some things, some decisions that had to be made. You young people, y'all were at the Wiles this weekend. You listened to the preaching and you made some decisions in your mind about things that needed to change in your own lives. College and career. I've talked with several of them and they've said the same thing. There were just things that were brought out. Well, can I tell you something? There is a way to gain the victory over those things which have kind of overtaken you. And it's so simple that we never really think about it. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6, I'll show you one verse. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 14. Romans chapter 6, 14, this is what it says. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, dominion is power, it's rule, it's something. And what Paul is saying here, he's saying, look, sin does not have to have power over you in your life. It will not lord over you because of this. Listen to what he says. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. Now, what Paul is speaking here is the law of Moses. We're no longer under that law. And he said, because we're not under that law, sin will not have dominion over you, but because you are under something else. What is the last word of that verse? Say it again. Because we're under, listen, because we're under grace, that sin will not have dominion over us. Now let me ask you something. How many of you can say, hey, you know what? There's times in my life that I struggle with sin. There's things that are in my past that just keep raising up their head. And though I try and I try and I try to keep from doing those things, sometimes I still fail. Could you say that? I mean, it's true for me. Now listen, what Paul just said here, he said, you don't have to do that because of grace. Now let me ask you, when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, because I'm looking out around and I see most people who are here tonight, I know that you've already given a testimony of salvation. Now, don't want to take that too far. If you're here tonight and you've never done that, it would not hurt my feelings at all if you ran to the front during the preaching and say, look, I need to take care of that. Because the most important thing you need to take care of is your future. And that future is by asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come in, forgive you your sins, save you, and prepare that place in heaven for you. So we don't want to hinder that from happening tonight. But just like we received that grace for salvation, we were not bold enough to say, you know what, Lord Jesus, I'll take that salvation if you'll let me help. If you'll let me join in to that salvation so that I can say I've done something about it. Well, that wouldn't be grace at all, would it? But what we do, now listen, this is what we do. We find out that we've got something that's on us. We've got that sin that so easily besets us. And what do? We go, I got to do better. I got to work harder. I got to do these things and get this out of my life. That's not what Paul said here. Paul said, just like you receive salvation, accept that grace and say, Lord Jesus Christ has already won that victory. I just enter in. Now, it's not a cheap grace. Right? It's not something that you just go, well, you know, I've got the grace of God on me, so if I mess up, well, I just mess up. No, that's not what he's saying at all. Because if you think back about the very first part of chapter 6, what does he say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. That's not how we live our lives. But at the same time, we need to understand that it's not, the harder I try, the more I'm saying, Lord Jesus, you know what? I really want this sin out of my life. And if you'll come alongside me and help me, but that's not what Jesus wants to do. Jesus said, hey, I died for that sin. You're dead to that sin because of me. Not because of anything you've done. Not because of anything that you've asked for. Not for anything, because he says, my grace is sufficient. He's already given you all the grace that we need. All we have to do is enter in. See, sin shall not have dominion, not have power or rule over you because you're under grace. So when those when that attack starts happening, we need to understand, all right, what is the problem? Well, there's actually two things that we need to understand. First of all, surrender. Surrender. Now, when we think of surrender, we think of I'm giving up. But that's not what surrender is. We're surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ. Most of you say, well, I already made that. When I made the commitment to be saved, I surrendered my life. No, what you did is 90% of the people surrender their sin. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I don't want to be anymore. And you surrender the sin. But God says, I need more than that. I need you. I need your will. I need your thoughts. I need your life. Those are the things that have to be surrendered. Some of the young people that stood up tonight talked about sports. Surrender your sports, Lord. Some of you talk about academics. Some of you think about my future. Some of the young ladies talked about maybe the things that are going on in their lives in the future. Surrender that to God. When we surrender those things to God, we no longer have to worry about them anymore. We just say, Lord Jesus, you know what? We're just entering into what you've already done for us. It's your grace that's going to take care of this for me. And so I'm going to surrender not just my sin, but everything I've got. I'm going to surrender my life. See, I've had to do that over the past few weeks. I've had to say, you know what? Lord Jesus, you called me to do this, and I've tried my best to keep my foot in it. I've tried to say, you know, Lord, you know, you called me to preach. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to do everything I can to preach. I'm going to study. I'm going to call. I'm going to do all these things that I need to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I found out I'm depending more on me than on Him. When I find out that I'm having struggles, I'm not being the husband that I need to be. I'm not being the father that I need to be. You know what I do? I determine that I'm going to do better. But instead, I needed to surrender that to Jesus. Jesus, I cannot be the Father that I need to be unless I allow You to be that Father through me. I cannot be the husband that I need to be unless I allow Your love to shine through me to my wife. Now, I can tell you, I still fight, but I'm learning. And that's the process. It's learning. You say, you know, I got to take it by the Lord. I even surrender the want to fight. I want to surrender that will that I have that keeps getting in the way of your life shining through me. The speaker was talking about, and he said that for me to live is Christ. You know? It's not me at all. It's Christ. And it's Him living through me that I want others to see. It's not me pretending He's living in me, but it's Him living in me that everyone out there sees. So first thing we have to do is we have to surrender everything we have. And then the second thing is exactly like how we get salvation. It's faith. You know, the only way that we know we're saved is we believe we're saved. You know, when we ask God to come in and to forgive us of our sins and to save us, He doesn't throw down that salvation card. You know, we catch it, you know, I put this in my billfold, so that when I feel like I'm not saved, I can pull it out and look. You know, that would be nice. He's given us it in His Word. You know, He says He keeps us, He seals us, He puts us in the palm of His hand. No one can get us out. But just like we take that faith and we believe that we're saved and we say, I know I'm going to heaven, we need to take that same faith and say, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing a work in my life, and if I surrender my will to Him, things are going to be pretty good. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have any problems. You know? But what it means is I can depend on Jesus even when the problems come. There shall be showers of blessing. We always sing that song and we love it, but you know, sometimes we sit around and go, you know, the showers of rain are bothering us. But if it's not for the rain, we don't get the growth. I was thinking the other day as it had rained and it had rained and it had rained, and I thought, man, is it ever going to stop raining? And let me tell you what the Lord said. He said, you read anywhere about where Noah complained about it raining? No, I didn't. He was in a little bit different predicament than we were in. But I never read about him complaining. I never read about him complaining about being stuck around with his family. I never heard him complain about the animals that he had to deal with. Those weren't the things he complained about at all. Was Noah a perfect man? No. He proved it time he stopped, right? But the thing is his commitment, he was in the ark. He was committed to what God had done. We need that same commitment in our life. We're just going to commit to Jesus Christ. We're going to get in that ark. We're going to get into Jesus Christ and say, hey, you know what? Come what may, I'm with you. When things go bad, I'm just going to depend on you. When things get rough, I'm depending on you. And as we go around, we talk, and people say, you know, people don't know I'm a Christian. Can I tell you? If you'll live for Jesus, if you'll surrender to Jesus, if you'll let Jesus have every part of your life, you know what? People notice. People notice. They'll say, something's different about him. Something's different about her. And let me tell you what that does. It allows you to open that door to share the gospel. Hey, something's really different about him. What's wrong? What's different about you, Zane? Hey, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the difference he's made in my life. And he can make that same difference in yours. Talking about an easy open door. Young people, can I tell you, the things that you learned this week, remember the back of the sign, continue thou. Just do them. And don't depend on yourself to make yourself do them. Depend on Jesus to be a part of everything you do. Get up in the morning and you say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to read my Bible. Every morning that I've got up, I've read my Bible and I've done my devotions and I do it academically. Lord Jesus, show me something today. Give me something. Give me something. And if you read it and you go, I didn't get anything, take the next step. Meditate on it. Keep it with you all day long, because you know what's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to run into a spot where you're going to go, that's exactly what I needed. Maybe it's not tomorrow. Maybe it's not the next day. Maybe it's 3 weeks down the road. Maybe 3 years down the road. That's what I needed. And I got it because I opened my Bible and said, Lord Jesus, give me something. Surrender to it. It also means when you open it up and you read it, and you go, ugh, I don't want to do that. You say, wow, you showed it to me. Thank you. And do it. Do it. And remember, it's not how hard you try, it's grace. It's grace. For my grace is sufficient for thee.